Amen.
Well, you can see on the screen there.
No.
Sorry. Well, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Oh dear. Sometimes it's really inappropriate when you get a call. Sometimes you think, I just don't want this call right now, and you see it come up on your phone. It might be a person's name that comes up, or it might be one of those numbers that you think, I don't want to take this call. I know it's a telemarketer, or it's a politician wanting to state their case, or I don't have time for this call. I can't have this distraction of this call right now. It's just not the right timing for this call. But sometimes there's a call that you're like, I really want this call. This call is so important. I need to position myself for this call. I cannot be in a bad area where there is going to be static or bad range. I need to make sure I'm in the right position for this call. I need to make sure that there's no barking dogs in the background, no kids fighting in the background, because this call is significant. This call is important to me. And maybe for you, you've had that kind of significant call, and perhaps it was a job offer. And you're like, yes, I really want this job offer. Or maybe the call was an unexpected death in the family. This is a really important call right now. Maybe the call for you that has been a significant call has been results of a blood test. Or maybe it's been that call that you had hoped for, that you desired from the love of your life asking you on that first date. That's the kind of call you will always remember. Those kind of calls, you will always remember where you were, what you were doing. It's a memorable call. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you are wise by human standards, not many influential, not many were of noble birth. He's encouraging the believers to remember what you were before you were called to Christ. Remember who you used to be. Well, I know for myself who I used to be was somebody who was very self-focused. Life was all about me, my pleasure, what I want, when I want it, until I felt that call and came to Christ, and he changed me. When I was young, we lived in New Zealand. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And in New Zealand, there in Sunny Nook, Auckland, I had some neighbours, the Shannons, that walked across the road and asked my parents if they could take us to Sunday school. My parents said yes. That was the start of a calling. Then we moved to Australia, and in Warrington, we asked our parents, can we please go to Sunday school? There was something calling us that we wanted more of what we'd experienced. Then later on in primary school, my parents decided, even though they didn't have a faith of their own, they decided to enroll us into scripture classes in school. And so I had a scripture teacher, Mrs. Lepke, who sowed more seeds of the gospel to me. And then for high school, my parents said to my sister and I, you've got two choices. Would you like to go to an all-girls school, a Catholic all-girls school, or would you like to go to the Christian co-ed school? And we were like, boys, of course we want to go to the co-ed. We don't want all girls. So we went to this co-ed Christian school, and that's where I saw, through the example of the young people around me, faith, authentic faith. And through, there was a teacher specifically, Mr. Presswich, Mr. P, we called him, and he was so inspirational. He would get into chapel and share the difference between evolution and creation, and it just made sense to me. And all along these people along my path, I felt a drawing, a calling, until one night I was laying in my bed trying to get to sleep one night when suddenly the thought came to me, what would happen if I died tonight in my sleep? Now, either they're lying at school and there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell. And then I thought, that's really dumb. How stupid would that be to live for this amount of time, then nothingness? And I thought, what if they're telling the truth? There really is a God and there really is a heaven and a hell. And so I called out to God and I said, God, if you're really real, then I need to get to know you. I went to school and my girlfriend helped me answer questions from the Bible. This was my calling. This was God calling me to himself. And you know, Jesus has called many. In fact, when he was on this earth, he would walk around and he would call out to people. He would say, repent. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, some answered the call and some didn't answer the call. Some ignored it. And then his disciples, like Peter, would carry on in his footsteps and would call just like he called out. It's accounted in the book of Acts that Peter, he said, repent, just like Jesus would say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Here's this call to God, this call to Jesus. And for some, it's a slow, gradual call. There's been people sent along the pathway just like me, but for other people, it is a call that arrests you all at once, like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. I know Pastor Jack, that's his story. In one moment as a young 10-year-old, he was called to Jesus and he was called for Jesus to preach the gospel for him. So I wonder, when did you receive the call? Where were you? Who were you? Maybe he is calling you at the moment and he's put people in your life, he's brought you here, and it's all part of the calling you to him. I love this quote by Guinness. He says, our primary calling as followers of Christ is by him, to him, and for him. I am called by him and to him and for him. We are called to a relationship. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This word of fellowship, it means relationship, a partnership that is based on love. Matthew 22, Jesus replies to a Pharisee and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the primary, and the greatest commandment. We are called to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. The Message paraphrase says it this way. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. This is our worship. This is our supplication, our prayer to him. This is our adoration, our love and worship of him. This is our celebration, our passion. It's all to him, for him. We are called first to someone before we are called to something. Our primary call is to worship. Our secondary call is to witness. Our primary call is to love him. Our secondary call is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus replied to this Pharisee and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, we are first called to someone and we are called to do something for him, for his kingdom. And this is our secondary calling. We are called to love Jesus and we are called to love for Jesus. We are reconciled to Jesus and we are reconciling for Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Can you say through us? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We, all of us, are called. We are called to be Christ's representatives. He gave us a ministry and you are a minister. You don't need a title. You're a minister. God has called you to be a witness. Well, what is a witness? And well, you look it up in the dictionary and it's a person who sees an event, typically a crime or an accident that's taken place. Another definition says a witness has knowledge of a development from observation or experience. We know in a courtroom there is a lawyer and there is a judge and there are witnesses that attest to something. True? The witness gives a testimony of what they have seen and observed. Well, the disciples, they were called to Jesus and he would make them something. He said, come to me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you witnesses. And they were witnesses. They gave testimony of what they had seen. They had seen in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says to them before he leaves the earth, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. And I want to tell you today, you, if you are a believer and have received the Holy Spirit, are empowered to be a witness. It's not just an infilling so that I can have those goosebumps and I can feel full of joy and peace. And all of those things are beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses for him. You know, all through Scripture, I'm jumping here, our witness is our declaration, opening our mouth and sharing what we have seen and heard, what we've experienced, what we've encountered. Our witness is our transformation, how God has changed us, where we can say, I used to be this, but now I am this. You know, maybe your story is, I used to be a compulsive liar, but now I'm free of that. I don't need to lie to please people. Maybe before you were full of fear. I was once full of fear, but now I am free. Perhaps you could say, I once was addicted. I was so addicted and my life was wrapped around that. I was a prisoner, but now I am free. I once was lost. I was purposeless. I had no future, but now I have purpose. That is our transformation. And our witness is our demonstration. I know Pastor Carol shared a great word last week about how our unity as brothers and sisters, as the church, our love for one another is our declaration. You know, there's so many examples in Scripture of people being called by God. And I think of one in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel, where little Samuel is there sleeping in the temple right next to the Ark of God, the presence of God. And suddenly he hears the call. He hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. He thinks, oh, that must be Eli, the priest, my teacher. And he gets up and he goes to him. He says, yes, Eli, what do you want? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You know, any excuse, these kids all get up. They need a drink of water. Then they need this. Then they need to go to the toilet. And no, go back to bed. Another time he hears his name again and he thinks, Eli's calling me again. And he goes to Eli, Eli, did you call me? What do you want? And he says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. A third time, he hears his name called again. He goes to Eli and he says, yes, you called my name. And Eli, it all starts to twig and he realizes and he says, you know, that's God calling you. You need to go back to bed and the next time you hear that voice calling you, you need to say yes. He says, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. You know, Samuel heard this call three times, but he didn't recognize the call of God. He thought the call of God sounded a lot like his leader. And sometimes the call of God sounds like our leader. Sometimes it sounds like our spouse. Sometimes God is speaking to us and it sounds a whole lot like our children because he's speaking to us through our kids. Samuel was positioned to hear the call of God. He was in God's presence, and our position is key. Where we position ourselves is key to receive. Eli, I love how Eli taught him how to hear. Eli taught him how to hear God's voice. And I tell you, discipleship is key. We need advisors in our life. We need people to help us clarify, is this what God is saying to me? And he taught him how to respond to the voice of God. That receptivity, that's key. You know, these words that God gave to Samuel, they weren't easy words. They were actually really challenging. Destruction was coming. Punishment was coming. But he simply had to say what he had heard. And sometimes responding to God's call to be a witness isn't easy. But it is the most loving thing that we can do. Being salt and light isn't easy. It's offensive sometimes. We risk rejection. But I am here today because the Shannons risked rejection and they walked across the street there in Sunny Nook, Auckland, and they asked if us young kids could come to Sunday school. I'm here today because Mrs. Lepke gave up 30 minutes of her week, or maybe she did other classes and gave up more time, but Mrs. Lepke gave up time in a scripture class at Warrington Public School. I'm here today because there was a teacher that fearlessly shared the word of God in my high school, because friends of mine invited me along to church. You are called by him, for him, to him. And there is a secondary call to others, to love for him. You know, when I was 16 years old, I went on my first missions trip to Indonesia. And I get there to the mountains of Taumangu, the Bible college, and I have never seen anything like it. All of these young students who are learning to become church planters were so passionate in their worship, so passionate in their love for Jesus, their authenticity as Christians. I was like, man, I love this and I want to stay here. I want to be one of these church planters. I felt like, God, you're calling me here. And, you know, I would have been very brave to ring up my unchurched parents and say, I'm not coming home, I'm staying here in Indonesia. But, you know, while I was there, I was praying and I was like, God, what do you have for me? And he gave me a vision, a picture, and the picture was of my funeral. I was being buried. I could see people around there. I couldn't see who they were. I don't know if you were there. But I was there at my funeral, and suddenly inside of me, I was just like, God, I want my life to count. I don't want to just work a 9-to-5 job and then die. I want my life to count. I want them to say something about me, that my life made a difference. And in that moment, I felt like God called me to be a missionary, but not to Indonesia, that I was going to be a missionary to my community, to Penrith, to my family. And, you know, that's exactly, some of you here in this room, you may be called to the mission field. You may be called to go somewhere, but most of us are called to be missionaries right here, to our family, to our friends, to our workplaces. You know, we have got 3 weeks until Easter. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity for us to witness, to share with others the difference that Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection have made in our lives. This is the greatest opportunity to invite our family, our friends, our work colleagues to church, to the Good Friday, to the Easter fun day. It was such an easy invite. And I want to ask you, will you ask? Will you open your mouth? Will you walk across the street? Will you invite your family and your friends and your neighbours? Will you ask your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews? There is a statistic 83%, this statistic is from America, but 83% of people make a decision for Jesus between 4 to 14 years old. This is the blue chip stock. These are the ones that we need to be reaching out to. Sorry. That's a second call. Will you take the call? Team, will you come? I want to ask you this morning, will you answer that first call? Would you answer that second call? Will you be receptive? Would you put yourself in a position where you will receive the call and take the call? Will you not disengage? Will you not hang up on the call? Because it's not a person that's calling you. It's God. It's God, your Heavenly Father, who is calling you. Not a person, not an organization, not a church. It is God who's putting that call on you. And I want to ask, will you respond? Will you respond? Because this is a call you do not want to miss. This is a call you don't want to ignore or put on silent. It's the most important call. Because most of the church today, they're focused worldwide on us and our pleasure, on for us and to us. But it's God, what God wants to do through us that is really going to make a difference in this world. It's what God does through us that will cause his kingdom to come here on earth as in heaven. Amen? Would you stand with me? Would you respond? However you feel to respond, maybe you want to raise your hands right now as an act of surrender as we start to worship God. Maybe you want to step out in a different way than you have before. Maybe you want to kneel to the ground as an act of response. But we're going to pray right now and respond to his call. Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done through me. Lord, I respond today. I know that it's you that's calling me. It's you. And I'm answering that call today. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? Where is it that you want me to go? Who is it that you want me to talk to? What is it, Lord, that you have for me? And I will step out. I will be fearless. I will be brave because somebody was brave for me. Lord, I thank you that you have filled me with the Holy Spirit. Right now, I just want to pray over each one, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hands if you're hungry for that this morning. A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, deposit afresh. Lord, your word says to be filled over and over again. Lord, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. A fresh empowerment of your Spirit, Lord. Fearless, brave, full of you. Full of you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the people that are on the other side of our obedience. I thank you for the testimonies that will be shared, Lord, by our friends and our family because we've responded to the call. You're a good God, and I thank you that you've got good plans for our lives. Be glorified through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.